Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Ken Sherto tomorrow and the passion that he has to keep wrestling in the Olympics. He's been there. We'll have that for you tomorrow. Tonight, Penn State basketball. We'll have the Penn State basketball show from Damon's from 6 to 7 this evening. And then at 8:30 on the air with the Chesapeake Energy tip-off show, followed by Nittany Lion basketball with Iowa at 9.
Good news, you'll have just enough time to get some ribs before game time.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Altogether, I'll be on the air, 6 hours this afternoon?
I don't know.
Take that, Lawrence.
It's kind of scary. The only thing he has over you is he woke up earlier this morning to do it.
I'll be up early tomorrow. I'm going to go to the 5:30 workout tomorrow for a football team. So then I have to fly to Michigan tomorrow night. Dave in Sunbury. Dave, hola, buenos dias, bonjour, hello.
Hi, Steve. Hey, either Steve, you or Kevin can answer this question. When they moved state playoffs, championships from state college back down into Hershey, was that done for monetary thing or what?
Oh, sure. It's all done by bid, Dave. Everything's done by bid. And whatever they think is the best package deal that they can get that can enhance the championships and allow them either to make some money or else not lose as much money, that's the direction they go in. And that's fine. That's how business operates all the time. And there's that great line in Apollo 13. It wasn't Apollo 13. I'm trying to remember what it was. The movie Armageddon. Steve Buscemi is sitting on the rocket with Bruce Willis and everybody else. He says, "How does it feel to be sitting on? It's about to go on fire. That was built by the low.
It was built by the lowest bidder.
Okay. Part is from the lowest bidder.
well, it was two other things. The sure. One is Rich from the Reading Eagle.
Rich Scarsella.
Yeah.
Rich Scarsella.
I used to get the paper all the time, especially on the weekends. But we don't get the Sunday paper now in this area. I enjoyed reading his articles, not only just recruiting and football and stuff, but the whole paper. I used to absorb it like I do the Patriot.
He's a very thoughtful, insightful veteran writer. He and I go back 30 years. There are very few people I respect in the industry more than Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he is not a knee-jerk reaction guy. When he delivers an opinion, there is thought and substance behind it.
Then a little thing for Kevin. When you see my cousin tomorrow night, tell him I said hello.
I saw a lot of him last night. I mean, when you spend 2 hours in a vehicle with someone, you'd be surprised as to the topics you talk about. But yeah, I will pass that along.
But just, I'll give you a last name. So, but just tell him that Dave Reeder said hello.
I will do that. We spent some quality time together last night. Up and down to Jersey Shore.
I talked to Chief.
I'm trying to remember where he went to school.
What's that?
I'm trying to remember where he went to school.
David?
He was a half-decent football player.
David?
Yeah.
He went to high school at Chickalamy and then spent some time at Bloom.
But he was a half-decent football player.
Well, he tells me that. I don't see any of the...
He was getting offers. I'll tell you, Kevin, he was getting some offers.
He tells me about that, which is why he's helps us out on Lewisburg football, too.
Well, I'd say talk to his dad, but his dad's dead. So
Right. His dad passed.
Because he can't talk to Bethel.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Our number 1-800-795-9565 and the Hilscher's General Store hotline. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. The deli, the bakery, the restaurant, clothing, the boots.
I could have used that last night.
Outerwear, no question. And, of course, Thursday is brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. This is the time in your life where I think you need to have sound financial people around you. Rick is exactly that. Cares about each individual he works with. You're not a number to him. You are a person and a friend. Give Rick a call at REW Financial.com. That's online at REWFinancial.com. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors with us all the time. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, Ken Shurto on the show. Talk Steve, about Olympic wrestling.
That one thing you talked about a couple of weeks ago was a young quarterback that the Steelers had at one point called named Dennis Dixon. And it looks like he and Chip Kelly have reunited.
Which is fine. I think that works out for him, especially when you're considering that Michael Vick has a one-year contract.
Well,
and that's something that to be considered, a one-year deal. And again, in talking with Nick Farrow from the Allentown Morning Call, who was on the show, well, I believe, Monday or Tuesday, he said, look, he said, just because Vic signed it doesn't mean he's going to be there.
Well, look at this. You have Vic and you have Dixon, who both can run the Kelly offense. Where does that put Nick Foles and Trent Edwards right now?
Well, Trent Edwards is a journeyman backup quarterback that a lot of people like to have as their number two. He is to other teams, including Philadelphia right now, what David Carr is to Eli Manning. Something happens to Eli Manning, at least you have somebody that's been out there and has been through the speed of the game before, as opposed to a rookie. As for Nick Foles, obviously has had moments, but is he a fit for what Chip Kelly wants to do? Now, let's remember something quickly here about what Chip Kelly's doing in Philadelphia. Just because he ran that offense at Oregon doesn't mean he can run exactly the same thing with Philadelphia in the National Football League.
That's true.
So he's going to have to sit down with his coordinator, with his other coaches, and say, look, let's look at our personnel. Let's see what works for our personnel and what, you know, where we can get the most out of them. So it may not be exactly what they were running at Oregon. Now, can they run a pace? No huddle pace? Be at the line of scrimmage, try to get plays off every 13 to 17 seconds? Yeah, you can run that kind of offense. But there are certain things within the offense they did at Oregon they probably can't do in Philadelphia.
I was a little surprised, though, that they offered him a two-year deal.
Well, is it guaranteed?
That I don't know. I mean, that might be the difference.
I would guess strongly it is not a guaranteed contract. You have to make the team in order to get the 2 years.
Now, he looked pretty good. I know he hasn't played in the past two seasons. He hasn't started the past two seasons, but when he was with Pittsburgh, filled in a couple of games in 2009 and 2010. He was actually 2-1 and played really well even in the loss, as I recall.
I remember him playing at Baltimore,
right,
playing pretty well. Look, I think he's lanky, gangly, decent arm, can move. There are a lot of things that he brings to the table that are positives. And I think for Philadelphia, it's worth them taking a flyer on him, especially considering Chip's in charge and Dennis has been through the Oregon system.
He was a backup. Wasn't he a backup with the Ravens this year?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, for Philadelphia and for Dennis Dixon, I think it makes, at the moment, a good fit. Now we'll have to see what offense he comes up with. You know, will it just be the fast-paced part of it? Or will there be other elements as well that will look similar to what Oregon does? I don't know if they can do everything that's similar to what Oregon does, especially in this league, and especially with the number of hits that Michael Vick has taken over the years. So one thing about you, you will get tagged. And because of the speed of the player, you'll get tagged pretty good.
Yeah, he's taken some big hits recently.
Anthony Midget, by the way, is the new defensive backfield coach for Penn State. He'll be in charge of the safeties. And so Anthony Midget, who's been at who had been at Virginia Tech as a player, grad assistant at Virginia Tech, did some high school work down in Florida. Was at Georgia State with Bill Curry, where he rose to defensive coordinator.
What are you tapping, by the way?
Hmm?
You're tapping. Are you tapping a beat to a song there, or what?
No.
Oh, I just wondered.
You know what you hear?
What?
You hear that's my grandson running upstairs on the hardwood floor. that's exactly what it is.
Wow. Auditioning for running back?
I don't know. He does this every day, and they asked me about it. And I said, you can't really hear it. I can hear it, but nobody else can. Evidently today I can hear it, so. But, yeah, there's a hardwood floor up above where I am.
It was rhythmic, though. That's the funny part. I just thought there was a song stuck in your head.
No, it's Colin. That's Colin Dawson. Colin Dawson is running back and forth upstairs.
We had to have him on the show.
Well, let's see. He'll be two in July. So
all right.
At that point, he might be able to. Instead of speaking gibberish, might be able to speak in sentences.
Actually, he could probably replace me when I go on vacation then if he's speaking gibberish right now, so it'd be good to go.
but Anthony Midget, what he does, now this is what he does. John Butler will be in charge of the corners as well as being defensive coordinator. Anthony Midget will be in charge of the safeties. He's young, he's energetic. He's been a high school coach in Florida, Georgia. His recruiting avenue into the southern region, Georgia, Florida, maybe even South Carolina a little bit. That's very important. And he has the potential to continue to open up avenues, which, for example, Ted Roof did a good job of opening up. So he's on board. He had been at Marshall, but now he's going to be here. And he'll be in charge of the safeties. And then John Butler will be in charge of the corners and be the defensive coordinator. And that rounds out the Penn State staff.
I'm going to ask you about this the other day. Gary Gillum is getting a sixth year. How hard is it to petition the NCAA and get that sixth year? I mean, is it difficult?
No, it's not. It just sometimes takes them a while to make that decision. But, I mean, in this case, it seemed like it was done with some expediency, which is great because Gary perfectly qualifies for it. He had been in 2010. He had hurt his knee early in 2010. I think he was playing against Iowa when it happened. And missed the rest of the 2010 season. There was a complication for him, thus he missed the entire 2011 season. And had already redshirted once. So when you're redshirted and you've already missed two other seasons, one full one and 80% of another one, you become a very good sixth. He's second Nittany Lion to get a sixth year ever. Chris Mazeek back in the 90s received a sixth year. Now, there have been others along the way I think would have been perfectly qualified to get it. If Pete Massaro wanted a sixth year, if he did, he would have gotten it. He had two ACLs. If Jerome Hayes had wanted a sixth year, I think Jerome could have gotten a sixth year. But Pete did not want a sixth year, did not petition. Jerome Hayes decided to go to the Canadian Football League. He did not petition for a sixth year. In this case, Gary Gilliam wanted a sixth year. And he had said to me back in November, he says, what do you think, Steve? He said, I look like an offensive tackle, don't I? I look like a tackle. Well, he played, I think, at 262, 265. He has the frame to easily get to 290, 295. You're talking about somebody who naturally already has very good footwork. He had been at defensive end his first year of the year he redshirted and then was flipped over to tight end. And not only does he have very good footwork, but he has long arms. If you've met Gary, Gary has long arms, and that's exactly what you need at that tackle spot, good footwork and long arms. He will be a contributor that they need to have on the offensive line at that tackle spot this year, opposite, obviously, Donovan Smith. Now Adam Gress is certainly somebody that's in the thick of this thing at that tackle spot as well. You also have a guy that can play the guard or tackle that I think bears a long look this year in Eric Shrive. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rwfinancial.com. In the kind of time that we are in right now, guys like Rick Weibel, to me, are invaluable. Give him a call. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Elantra 4-door sedan GLS, our lowest price promise, $15,943. Just arrived, a 2005 Nissan Maxima 4-door V6 3.5 SE, only $11,788. Beautiful Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1, just $15,997. 2011 Ford F-150 Regular Cab, $17,995. And a 2012 Hyundai Veloster 3-door coupe with black interior and under 7,000 miles, just $17,999. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
We make up words now.
Mark makes up a lot of words.
I mean, what's going on, man?
And then he talks about me when I talk about a game and the physicality of the game.
Well, Ken and Mill reading the show out. Hi, Ken.
Hi, fellas. I don't make up words, but I do make up definitions. Does that count?
Same thing.
3 times in 1 week. I'll tell you what, you guys better clear a chair. I'll come down and I'll try host the show with you guys. How about that?
You know, I think a lot of people might prefer that at the moment.
Actually, I heard this is more for Kevin, a little bit on the high school tip. First of all, Kevin, Shikalini getting knocked off by Jersey Shore, and, of course, me being from Milton. Milton finishing out the season, I believe, at 14-8. What does that alter the possible playoff scenario in AAA for us at all?
As it stands right now, you're looking at a Danville 1 seed, a 2 seed by Athens. Milton will have the 3 seed, and then the 4 seed would be Shikalini, and there's a possibility Mifflinburg could be a 5 seed, which would mean you'd have a play-in game or a pigtail game between Shikellamy and Mifflinburg next week.
Yeah. Okay, I was wondering how that was shaping up. And again, I think Danville is head and shoulders the best AAA team in the district. But
well, you know,
to get into the finals in AAA gets you into the state playoffs. And for where Milton has been, that'd be huge. I don't believe they've been in the state playoffs since 2005. And in an effort to try to get the program back to the prominence that it enjoyed for 25 years under Tony Fanick, I think that would be a big step. So obviously, now Athens is not a walkover, but you would rather play them, I think, than a Danville.
I would totally agree with you. And we'll find out how Danville matches up, too, because they have Lewisburg tonight in the Heartland Conference tournament game where they have the top three teams in the division and then one wild card team. And I'll tell you, that should be an entertaining game tonight between Lewisburg and Danville at Mifflinburg.
I think maybe early. I think Danville's depth and maybe their schedule throughout the season might wear a little bit later. But I could be wrong. That's why you play these games. And you know, good for the Heartland Conference finally doing something like the old school. Well, they're still doing the School Kill League. Talking about the Heartland, that brings me to my other question real quickly, Kevin, and maybe you can put your journalistic ear to the ground and see what you hear. There's been a rumor circulating that Bucktail and Central Mountain would both be petitioning for admittance into the Heartland Conference.
I have as well heard that rumor. I also know that there will be some juggling around next year of the divisions 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Now, whether that's related to it or not, I don't know. I know some schools are changing classes from AAA to AA and AA to AAA, and I think that has a lot to do with the original. But, yes, I have heard the interest there, too. And, boy, Central Mountain would have to go into a 1. And I'll get a good look at them on Tuesday night. I'll tell you that.
My assumption would be much like Williamsport in the sports that offer Quad A, they don't hold them to the conference commitment because of the obvious reasons. You know, they don't want to be tied into a Double A and Triple A schedule when they're trying to prepare for Quad A play in the postseason. But I had heard something. It was about a year ago, and it didn't really go anywhere. But I'd heard that Berwick had actually spoke some representatives over their way just to find out the logistics of what the conference involved and things like that, and I didn't hear anything further. So,
well,
obviously that didn't go anywhere.
What I can tell you is one of the reasons Berwick got out of the Holiday River Tournament for basketball was because of the travel involved in it. So that would be almost like making a trip to and from Jersey Shore when you play Berwick. So I that's why I didn't hold a lot to that, too, but I heard that rumor, too. But when they bailed out of the Holiday River Tournament, I think that kind of sealed the deal that they were not interested as much as I had heard they were.
Well, I certainly...
although I could be wrong.
I think that's probably accurate. And I figure they know their district and their travel arrangements as good as anybody, but I don't know. Are they that much better playing in the Wyoming Valley Conference? Well, in their eyes, I guess they are.
Well, I mean, geographically, it does make a little bit more sense for them to play the Wyoming Valley Conference than it would be to travel to Jersey Shore, which would be a long trip because they would have to be in Division I in the Heartland. Then they'd have to come out to Selins Grove. They'd have to come out to Shikellamy. And that's some pretty long trips.
Well, I guess they know best. But, yeah, if you keep your ear to the ground there. I will say one thing, and since I were talking about it, one thing the Heartland does, and I don't agree with, and I've talked to some ADs and people about this from before, I don't agree with the restructuring of the divisions every 2 years. And I'll tell you why, Kevin. I understand the PIAA does it. It's not nearly the shakeup that it is, I think, in the Heartland. And readjusting football schedules every 2 years, this year, Milton, and they're not in the same division. I understand that. We haven't played Lewisburg in a regular season, and it's been a balance, and it's been because of scheduling and this and that. I just think it's insane that Milton had to, initially they were speaking to Towanda, then ended up having to schedule a Carson Long, and the same weekend, Lewisburg was not playing in a divisional game, and they're 4 miles across the river, and Milton and Lewisburg did not play. I don't they've got to be able to do something. If we can put a man on the moon, you can make things like that happen.
You know, and I agree with you. I'd like to see that rivalry come back again. But here's the big thing with the Heartland Conference and the reason they changed things around. And it's exactly what I was talking about earlier. Teams going from AA to AAA. Here's a perfect example. Lewisburg is at a disadvantage against Danville in football for the point standings because Danville is playing the big school division where there's all the AAA schools and all the bonus points. Lewisburg is forced to play in the AA division where they're not getting the bonus points for added wins. Now, they're being very successful in Division II, but it's all AA schools, and they have to schedule AAA schools to get those extra points. That's why I think you see Lewisburg trying to make schedules work out with AAA teams, and then Milton having to get dropped simply because they couldn't find a date that matched up. That's my opinion. But, I mean, Danville does have a little bit of an unfair advantage because they are playing in Division I in the conference, and they're a AA school. So I think that's why you're seeing the Heartland Conference try and shift things around a little bit so it's a lot more fair.
Well, and if that's the case, that's fine. Again, just my personal observation in my untrained eye, but we'll keep like I said, under the ground and see what comes out of that. And until that time, we'll catch you guys soon. Take care.
Ken, always a pleasure. News is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show, Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motor has been with us since day one. Very proud of that association. Sunbury Motors is located in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia with 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilshers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. By Hilshers General Store, go to www.hilshersstore.com. They're located on routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. And now we approach the Kevin Herr rant of the day. Lawrence may brag that they are, quote, rantless. Let's look that up in the old Webster's and see how it turns out. But if he wants to be rantless, I mean, and he thinks that's the key to success, I understand that, although I don't quite understand how you can be rantless and have Ben Reichle on the show. But
I was wondering that myself.
Okay. Here is Kevin Herr rant of the day.
All right, Steve, you remember several years ago, NASCAR's season started with, they called it the Bud Shootout, the Busch Clash. Well, it's happening again Saturday night. This time it's called the Sprint Unlimited. It's the opening event for the NASCAR season. And it's going back to kind of the idea that originated back in the late 70s. With one simple twist, the fans are going to be involved. That's a bad thing and a good thing all at the same time. Well, they've decided now by fan vote with 55% of the votes that it's going to be 40 laps, 20 laps, and 15 laps. That was one of the options. But they've decided now that the winning combination is going to be 30, 25, and 20. Good idea. You have fairly equal laps there for the three segments. Now, you have the option now of voting until when the green flag drops, even you can still vote on whether they're going to take a pit stop, a two-tire stop, or a four-tire stop. Then you can also vote to find out how many cars are going to be dropped after each segment. Now, I like getting the fans involved. There's nothing wrong with getting the fans involved. And I think the fans picking what kind of a combination the segment should be, good idea. 30, 25, 20, that's a good setup. And the fans made the right choice with 55% of the votes. But now the fans get to decide if there's going to be pit stops or not. Okay, I kind of like this idea too, Steve, because if you have the pit stops planned ahead of time, the teams have to, like, think about it and have time to prepare. But by letting the fans decide, even when the race is going on, now you have to prepare for it, and or you may not even have to worry about it. I like that idea. Sounds fun. But now they're deciding how many cars are going to be eliminated after each segment. Okay, that's the part that I kind of don't like. It's either going to be none, four, or six. And I think even have an option of two in there as well. So if you're in the back of the pack and you don't know exactly who's going to be eliminated, you're going to really have to race and put your foot to the floor to try and get out of not being eliminated. But then again, you could be the sixth car, and then the fans could vote for six and you'd be gone. Or you could be the fourth car and the fans vote for two and you're in. That's the part that I don't like. That's the part that I think needs to be determined ahead of time. Now, the fan involvement, great idea. Gone a little bit too far when they have to decide all three segments of this race before the green flag even drops. And then the final part of this, if you get the app, your vote is worth two. If you do it online, your vote is worth one. That is not the smartest idea. I know it's to get people to download the app, but really, should your vote on the app be worth more than a vote online? That's my rant.
I think the whole thing is stupid.
That's what I figured I'd hear from you.
I'm sorry, but the whole thing is just...
But I like this race. I really do. I mean, these are all pole winners. That's the part I like about it.
Let them race. You know, let the professionals determine what pit stop they make and where. If they make a mistake, they make a mistake.
No, but I like the idea of the fans determining what kind of pit stop it's going to be, whether it's a two-tire, four-tire. When this first started, it was a two-tire stop.
What if you only need two tires?
That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is you get everybody on the team involved in this race. So that's why I do I picked a four-tire stop. I think if you're going to change tires, it should be all four tires, because that's when it's fun. And it should be a green flag stop. It shouldn't be yellow.
You know what?
What? I can't wait to hear this.
Look, fans are absolutely invaluable. Can't have sporting events without fans. Just can't. Those are your consumers. And those are the people that you want downloading the app. Those are the people you want in the stands.
Sure.
Those are the people that make up the ratings. But there's a limit. Okay, there's a limit. There's one thing that fans call this show, for example, and they want to talk about wrestling as opposed to baseball today. It's their show, and they're allowed to call about and steer the show in that direction. Now, when it comes to, for example, how you and I do the show in terms of our approach, or how you and I broadcast a game, our approach, we're the broadcast professionals. There are reasons why there are certain things we have to do. Somebody will say, why'd you cut off that guy? That's because we're up against a hard break. Those are things internally we know that we have to do. When it comes to this, the pit people, the chief mechanic, okay, the driver, they're the professionals. They know how many tires they need. They know how much fuel they have left. They're the professionals. They're the reason you come out. The reason people listen to this show is because we are, for the most part, well-informed professionals. Okay? On a wide variety of topics. We'll have a fan call in here that knows more about wrestling than I do. Okay? But that same fan who knows maybe more about wrestling than I do doesn't know baseball as well as I do, or might not know football or hockey as well as I do. And that goes for a variety of sports where you're locked in on one thing. Somebody calls the show about racing, they may know more than I do about racing and about drivers and and so forth, and about the various teams. But then if I sit there and talk to them about football, well, they're not as comfortable. That's not their lock-in area. So to me, you leave the key components to the sport to the professionals, because they're the ones you're paying to see be the professionals.
Well, here's the, and I agree with you. I do like the fun fan interaction type of thing with what NASCAR is trying to do here with the Sprint Unlimited. But here's the thing. NASCAR itself became popular because of its accessibility to the fans. And in my opinion,
they got away from that. But at the same time, if a car doesn't need four tires and only needs two, the driver, because not out of balance.
But what my point was the fact that NASCAR has gotten away from that accessibility to the fans, and they're trying to find ways to reach the fans again, because at one point they were way ahead in popularity, and attendance at tracks, especially here in the Northeast, has slowly gone away because it's not accessible as it used to be.
No, but it's also the economy. The economy has done that to a lot of things. Everyone's fighting for the same dollar all the time. And, you know, I mean, we just went through the final 3 months of last year, October, November, December, and the gross domestic product fell. I don't remember the last time the gross domestic product fell. Maybe during the crash of 2008, it might have. I don't know. But in my lifetime, I don't remember falling. And I've had a bunch of experts tell me on the air over and over again, oh, no, we're getting better. That number tells me we're not. And common sense in the people I see tell me that. A lot of people, incomes have not been increasing. How you select an event becomes more selective because now you're very selective with your entertainment dollar. There's a domino effect to all of this. Now, in terms of accessibility, I agree with you. All sports should be more accessible to the fans. All of them. I think every player needs to take time and sign and talk. I think it's very important for teams to make sure that their athletes sign and talk. Because that's what fans want. They want to feel like they are cared about by the athletes. They want that. Hey, you know, I got to meet, pick Ryan Howard. You know, he was saying, man, what a cool guy. How often do you hear that? Okay? And in NASCAR, for example, it would do them good to have crew chiefs who have now become somewhat of stars in their own right, and the drivers themselves actively out there all the time. When my son was at Boston Children's Hospital a few years ago, I remember Denny Hamlin showed up and just went to rooms and he signed. It meant everything to those kids. I mean, they were racing up in New Hampshire at the time. It meant everything to those kids. They're sick. They're sick. Children's Hospital in Boston, which I've been to many times, is a place of sadness, but it's also a place of hope at the same time. But that's where you need to have it, not by having an interactive app to tell them to pit now. You're not in charge. You're a fan. You're not in charge. Okay? The professionals are in charge. They're the ones that make these decisions when they're going 200 miles per hour.
Well, but I think the point... I think you might have missed my point on that. This race was designed with a pit stop in it anyway. It was called a mandatory pit stop to make a tire change.
Yeah, I know it is.
Okay.
So why should a fan tell a professional they need two or four?
Well, I mean, it was a two tire. It had to be two tire minimum change.
All right, minimum. Yeah. What if they think they need four?
Well, they could change four, but it would be at a disadvantage because some guys would only change two.
Well, whatever. You have to do – if your car is set up in a certain way on a certain day and it's not handling right, you need four. You go with four.
Right.
I mean, the professionals do. So if I'm sitting there, I'm like, don't tell me how to do my job. Okay. That's how I would feel if I were involved in this thing. Don't tell me how to do my job, because you're going to get, it's going to be the same as the baseball All-Star game. I voted for 25 times, and I voted for all the Phillies. Really? You did? Really?
I have a friend that did that.
Really? Andrew McCutcheon's hitting 400. You didn't vote him for the All-Star game? No, I don't want him on there. He's a Pirate. Leave it to the fans. Hey, come on.
our friend Todd Bartley did send me a text and said one of the reasons maybe the draw at NASCAR races have gone down has been since the death of Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Well, sure, but you know, that's what, 12 years ago now.
It's been a while.
It's been 12 years. I mean, who's the most popular driver on the circuit? You could argue it's the person that hasn't won yet, Danica Patrick.
Well, yeah, I was thinking Dale Jr. right away, but yeah,
Dale Jr.
Danica's
also
up
went
there.
A long time.
Yeah.
Also went a while without winning.
Right.
So, we'll come back to the rant. The rant didn't go well today.
I'm sorry. I can't be perfect every day.
What was your alternate rant?
The alternate rant? Well, no, that might be tomorrow's rant.
I know, but what's the subject?
No, the subject is rule changes in the NCAA.
No, I didn't come with that. All right.
Well, fine. Next time I'll send you an email and you can clear it. I thought this was good. I like this. It got you talking.
I think fans are great. They really are.
I'm just
whether
the
they're
commercial.
On mess. Oh no, whether on message boards or talk shows, especially in the stands, you can't do any of this without fans. You know, people have always thought I'm negative on message boards. I'm not negative on message boards. If you didn't have them, those are the people who are passionate. Now, do I agree with that? I don't agree with the anonymity of it. Okay? Or when somebody puts out false information. But I appreciate the fact that they are passionate enough about Penn State to post on a message board. I love that part. And calling a show like this, being in the stand, I love all that. But when it comes to running the day-to-day operation, I believe somebody at one point said, we want your dollars, but not your 2 cents. I wonder who that was. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, maybe Lawrence is on to something.
You know, earlier in the show, you're like, oh, no, those rants are great. I have one rant that you just don't all of a sudden agree with or like, and now it's, oh, I've got to get rid of the rant.
You got fans telling people when to make pit stops.
What? I'm fine with that.
What are you talking about? Okay, I'm rooting for Jeff Gordon, okay? And he's out there and he's racing against Brad Keselowski. And I'm like, God, everybody got a lineman. Keselowski put 4 tires on.
You do realize that if you have to put 4 tires on, everybody has to put 4 tires on. It's across the board. You're not going, I want Tony Stewart to put on 4 tires because I'm a Jeff Gordon fan. No, it doesn't work that way.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, you want
I've
the fans
so
out of this?
I've got so much work to do with you in racing.
You want the fans now to determine, you know, I think it should be 2 free throws instead of 1 plus 1.
This is a non-points race. It's a fans race in the first place. It's like the All-Star game. I shouldn't have said that because that just opened the door.
That just
opened the door. Listen, I've got four months to get you up to speed on racing. I'll work on it. You'll be good to go by Pocono.
Look, you throw guys. You know darn well I'll be able to sit there and converse their language.
I know that.
Not even an issue.
I'm not worried about that. We're going to be sitting there. We're going to be watching the race. I'm going to be saying things. I don't want you to be confused that I didn't explain everything to you.
Look, I'll be down at the concession stand. Okay.
That I can believe.
I'll be talking to other media members.
Oh, you're not one of those.
And you,
I go to the race. I go to the race to cover it. Come on.
I do. I don't go to the race to...
God forbid you watch the race. Don't watch the race.
Oh, come on.
You're killing me.
I mean, if you had your way, you would set up our broadcast location in the third turn.
Ooh, that'd be awesome. That's a great idea. I'll work on that.